On page 685, Isaiah 55, 6 through 13, the word of the Lord. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way, and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he may have mercy on them, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are my ways your ways, says the Lord. For as our heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven, and do not return there until they have watered the earth, make it bring forth and sprout, given seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and succeed in the thing for which I sent it. For you shall go out in joy and be led back in peace. The mountains and the hills before you shall burst into song, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Instead of the thorn shall come out the cypress. Instead of the briar should come out the myrtle, and it shall be the Lord for a memorial, for all everlasting sign that shall not be cut off. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We turn our attention now to the Gospel of Luke. We're in the 13th chapter, looking at the first nine verses. You can find it on page 76 in the New Testament. And this is a passage that has, over the course of the history of the church, basically been interpreted one way, but you're going to get a different take from me this morning. How's that? So, let us listen to the word of the Lord. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way that they're worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them, do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it, but found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" The gardener replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year until I dig around it and put fertilizer on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good, but if not, you can cut it down." The word of the Lord. The bad guys were winning. The good guys were losing. There was mayhem in the streets. It was evil run amok. The people needed a hero. They needed someone to rescue them. And so they called on Superman, Batman. Come on, you can do better than that. Captain Marvel, Spider-Man, Captain America, Wonder Woman. Right, we'll cover our bases. The Bruce Willis character in, what were his movies? Die Hard 1 through 85. We have Luke Skywalker, right, who blew up not just one but two Death Stars, and then someone else blew up a death planet. I mean, that's it, right? When things are not going well, who do we look for? A hero. We need a hero who is going to not play by the rules, who is going to be outside the system, who hopefully, especially if we're guys, will blow something up. Okay? This is the kind of hero that we want, that we need. So if you've ever been to a movie like that, or read a graphic novel or a comic book about that kind of a hero, you know what it's like to need one. Well, that's what's going on in our story in Luke this morning. The people need a hero. The bad guys are in charge. They're running amok. They are oppressing the poor, the helpless. But to understand this, we need to sort of get a little bit of the bigger picture. Because in the passage, it only says, at that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And most of us are going, what? So let me set the scene for you. The Jews in Galilee and Palestine are under the thumb of the Roman Empire. The Romans abuse them. The Romans tax them. The Romans oppress them. And the leader of the Romans in this moment is a guy named Pontius Pilate, right? You've heard of Pontius Pilate, right? From the Holy Week stories of Jesus' trial. So what Pontius Pilate decides is that the city of Jerusalem needs a new water system. Sound familiar? And so what he's going to do, instead of taxing his wealthy friends and all of the Romans are going to Rome for the money, he decides where he's going to get the money is in the Jewish temple. The Jewish temple is the most sacred place for Jews around the world. And they sent their money there to make sure the temple could keep up and running. They sent their money there for sacrifices to please God. And so Pontius Pilate with his soldiers marches into the temple, defiling the temple. They steal the money. They take it out. And the Jews are not happy. And so they decide to protest. And so one day, a huge number of them come up to his palace and they protest. Well, Pilate doesn't like this. He's afraid it's going to get out of hand. And so what Pilate does is he has his henchmen dress up like these people. And he sends them to mingle with the crowd. And so the next day, when these people come to protest, at a given moment, his soldiers, his goons, pull out clubs and begin beating people with them. And dozens of people die. This is sort of the last straw. This is that moment when the Jews want to take up arms and rebel against Rome, but they need a leader. They need a hero. And so they come to Jesus. They tell Jesus this story, not just because it's, you know, in the news tonight. They tell Jesus this story, hoping that he would take up the mantle, the cause. Because after all, he has thousands of followers. He's a charismatic leader. People want to proclaim him king. And so the question is, will Jesus do it? What will Jesus say? Will he be their hero? And the answer is no. And yes. The no is very straightforward. That's the whole rest of this conversation. That when Jesus says to these people, you need to repent, and just as a reminder, repentance means you quit going in the wrong way, and you turn around and you start going in the right way. Quit going the wrong way. Start going the right way. That's repentance. Right. Turn from one to the other. And so when Jesus says to these people, you need to repent, He's not talking about sort of personal stuff. What he's talking about is their desire to rebel against Rome, their desire to kill the Romans, their desire to take vengeance, their desire to destroy their oppressors. He says, you need to repent of that and choose a different way. And this is hard for us to get because we are a nation that was built out of rebellion, right? But here Jesus says, you need to choose a different way. You need to repent of this desire for violence and death and choose a different path. And when he talks about that these people are not any better than those who died at the Tower of Siloam or in this moment at the altar, what he's saying is, you may think that you're so much better than these people that if you rebel, God's going to protect you. God will make you victorious where God didn't make them victorious. And Jesus says, think again. That if you continue down this path of violence and war and destruction, you too will be destroyed. Repent. Turn from that way to a different direction. I mean, that's about as much as of a no as you can get. It's not just, Jesus didn't just say, well, no, I don't think so. No, he said, listen, you need to figure this out. You need to do something differently. So that's the no. So the question is, what's the yes? What's the yes that Jesus is willing to be their hero? The yes is everything else that Jesus did and taught and lived. What Jesus was offering to the people was an alternative heroic vision, an alternative heroic heart. Jesus' heroic heart was one that believed that love was more powerful than hate, that believed that forgiveness was more powerful than revenge, that believed that building up others, praying for others, even your enemies, was more powerful than violence against them. Now I realize that for a lot of us, that just, it's kind of like, well, that's not the way I think of a hero. Whose kind of a hero is that? And the answer is, it's God's kind of hero. Because that's how God works in the world. In this 55th chapter of Isaiah, what we hear is what's at the heart of God, and what's at the heart of God is not revenge or violence against people. What we hear is, let the wicked forsake their ways, the unrighteous their thoughts, let them return to the Lord that he may have mercy upon them, that God will abundantly forgive them. And God says, see, my thoughts about this are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. God sent Jesus into the world to be this very different kind of hero. A hero who saves the world not through blowing things up, but through giving his life for us. This is the kind of hero that Jesus is, that you and I are called to be. But this is not an easy kind of hero to be. It's a much easier kind of hero to be the sort of Bruce Willis kind of character. And I say that for two reasons. First, as human beings, we have this penchant for power and violence. Okay, so this really came home to me this week watching the sports news on TV. Okay, so not last night, night before, there was some old guys hockey game in Colorado, Coors Field, right? It's all the old retired hockey guys, and the sportscaster's talking about it, and I'm thinking, oh, well, this is fun, and she goes, and the neat thing is, they've said they're going to pull the gloves off and go after each other. And I thought, these are old guys. Why would they want to do that? Well, it turns out they didn't. But last night on the sports, that same sportscaster was so disappointed. This person was, they didn't pull off the gloves. They didn't fight. I'm going, and? Now see, I grew up in the South. We didn't play hockey. So I sort of understand the thing that once upon a time there was a fight and a hockey game broke out. Right? So, but see, that's just it, is we have this sense that this is what we want. But not only do we want that as a society, it is in some ways baked inside of us. And my wife's smiling, so I'll tell one story on myself. All right, so for years and years and years at my former congregation, we played pickup basketball two or three nights a week. We had a fabulous gym. Guys from all over town would come, and we would just have a great time. But just pickup basketball, right? So one game, I am hurdling myself down the court on a full court break. I get the ball. I go up for a layup. A guy on the opposing team decides he is going to duck under me and cut my feet out. So, for any of you who've ever had that happen, it's a wonderful feeling to just kind of be flying through the air, not having any idea how you're going to land, what you're going to break. So I hit the ground, and in about a second and a half, I am in that guy's face. I am going to let that guy have it. Now, you need to picture this. I am probably 50. And this guy is about 25. And here I am thinking, what I should have been thinking was, this isn't a good thing. But I don't, because there is this visceral something that just when we are attacked or someone does something, that we just, it just wants to explode out of us. And the proof, I think, is, how many of you saw the original Star Wars movie? How many of you, when the Death Star blew up, cheered? Okay? See, there is something about that catharsis of wanting that sense of vengeance, but this is what Christ is calling us not to do. That is what we are to repent of and turn to the Christ-like hero heart. We are to be those who stand apart from the violence and take up lives of mercy and love and compassion and forgiveness. This is what it means to have the hero heart of Jesus Christ. It means to be different. And so my challenge for you for this week is to ask yourself this question. How am I building a Christ-like hero's heart within me? How am I building a Christ-like heart where my life is about compassion and love and forgiveness so that I can be one who brings about the world that God would have created? Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks and praise for the gift of your Son who gave his life for us. Be with us, strengthen us, and let us have the hero hearts of Jesus. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen.